bit of indecision there. The umpire hadn't a clue, was it wide or a 65?
This is pressure.
And Mark Rogers, the UL student,
this is pressure.
Classmate of Mark Fitz.
This is pressure.
He's placing the ball in front of the line.
Linesman is in.
Look, he's putting pressure. Look, yeah. The linesman, I thought he was going to move it back, but
yeah,
it's
I
about,
thought he was in to move.
About a foot inside it, but Mark Rogers, he's done it for UL, and now he's done it for Clare. Over the bar it goes. Sickener for Waterford. Mark Rogers get his second point. The winner in injury time. 5 minutes of injury
time gone.
It's all over. Devastation for Waterford. 4:21 to 2:26. Heartbreak for Waterford.
So after that cruel one-point loss to Clare in Ennis last Sunday, Waterford head to the Gaelic grounds needing a win or a draw to advance to the All-Ireland Series. Limerick versus Waterford on Sunday will be our George Corbett scored a big match here on WLR. Join Kieran O'Connor and Owen Murphy for live coverage from 3:45. Well, to preview a super Sunday in both Munster and Leinster, delighted to be joined in studio by former Daisha boss Derek McGrath. And Derek, before we go to this Sunday, let's go back to last Sunday. What did you make of that Waterford performance?
Yeah, Waterford are playing really well. I think that's the common trend in the three games so far. They've played really well. They've been very forceful. They've shown great bounce back ability. I think, you know, in the game, perhaps looked to be slipping away. In the second quarter of the first half, the last day against Clare, 7 or 8 points down, looking like we're very open, we'd say, at the back. The boys were able to fix it, you know, remedy kind of some things maybe at half time and into the second quarter. And albeit Clare had some glaring wides at the start of the second half, Waterford dug in and played really well. So I think the performance was really good. You know, the unfortunate thing was, as Kieran O'Connor put it probably more succinctly to me there, you know, a sickener of an ending and you know, the umpire hadn't a clue. And, you know, so look, we probably, you know, we haven't leaned, in fairness to the management, there's been no kind of, you know, backward step in terms of retrograde kind of, you know, mentioning of that all week. It's been kind of focused on the Limerick game and that's what they have to do.
Speaking of that sickening finish, Derek, what did you make of that 65 incident?
Yeah, well, look, you know, I'm not on a form of social media, any form of social media, but I've been sent pictures of the umpire, as we say, line of sight when he was making the decision. And, you know, it was obviously when Don Logue highlights it on the Sunday game, you have the benefit of four different camera angles. And, you know, it's clear that Tighe's Hurley hits it out over the line, so therefore it is a 65. But you'd have to agree with Kieran's assessment from the bird's nest in that it was a complete guessing game. You know, it was completely, you know, just a guess in terms of what decision it was. So I don't know how anyone could make a decision based on what they saw in front of them at a given time. So look, it's a sickener. It's something probably that's followed us around and around. Robin, ourselves, we were involved in the ghost goal incident. So it's just something you just have to move on from as fast as possible and maybe kind of garner the hurt and sense of injustice that you've perhaps, you know, encountered, if you like, to be able to kind of say to yourself, look, we'll channel this in the right direction in the home of the All-Ireland champions.
Just one more question on that incident, Derek, before we move on. There was a pretty messy scene after the full-time whistle went. We saw David Fitzgerald remonstrating with Liam Gordon as he came off the pitch, and then he was pushed by a member of the Clare backroom team. Should Davy have taken a different approach to that situation, in your view?
Sure, you can only put yourself in those positions and without being kind of, in any way damning of anyone's verdict. Blood is high, but passions are high, you know, the emotions are particularly high, and it's probably important at that stage that you just immediately refocus, I suppose. But look, there does come a time where you know, you have to show your emotion as well. So probably in terms of, there might have been a moment where he could actually not grab Liam Gordon, but be able to say to Liam Gordon, you know, can I speak to you about that? But as I said, the nature of the Munster Championship in terms of the furore and the kind of fervour involved in the whole proceedings allows the kind of blood to get up. You know, and I think a lot has been made of Davy transgressing, if you like. But I think, again, just watching it back, the footage, you know, the first push, if you like, in terms of hands-on seems to come from a Clare selector, as far as, that's just my watching of it. Obviously, you're not kind of, you know, you're not on the spot there in terms of what you can see from afar, if you like. But, you know, so I think there's no place for that. And you know, it probably raises a deeper issue around the whole safety of referees and safety of kind of, you know, people that are able to kind of go in on the grounds, etc. And, you know, I heard people debating the possibility of managers maybe finding a spot up in the bird's nest or in the stand themselves. You know, I see Jack O'Connor there earlier this year with Kerry. You know, it's probably another debate, a wider debate. If the facilities allowed it in key grounds, I suppose, like Croke Park or like Páirc Uí Chaoimh, you know, you could probably run with that. But it's look, I think Davey himself, you know, it's a simple thing. Maybe get into Liam Gordon afterwards, have the discussion. Even if you agree to disagree on the whole thing, I'm just thinking of the ghost goal incident ourselves, where you kind of just have to maybe just take a step back. But I remember going into school the next day and someone saying to me, you should have been more forceful with the referee. So, you know, it's opinion-based kind of piece. So, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment of it, Derek. And like you mentioned earlier, Waterford are playing really well in this year's Munster Championship, and they're involving three high-scoring games so far, which maybe supporters wouldn't normally associate with Davy Fitzgerald. What changes have you noticed in Waterford's game since the National League?
Yeah, well, look, firstly, I'd associate it with Davy's team in that, you know, we played him in 16 as Clare manager in the league final, and a very high scoring encounter, and the 13 All Ireland winning team, very high scoring team as well. So I think he's kind of mixed and matched. First of all, I noticed the first change was actually in the Kilkenny game in the rain in Walsh Park, whereby Shane Bennett and Desi were obviously very close to the goal that day. So I think the change was coming far before the Cork game, in that the general perception outside the group was, oh, they need to play Desi close to the goal, they need to play Shane Bennett close to the goal, etc. The irony of it is, I think Patrick Fitzgerald's penalty was won last Sunday with Desi hitting the ball from 100 yards from his goal. I think it was anyway a long ball. I'm nearly sure Desi was back the field when Adam Hogan had him tied up a small bit. The management still had the gumption, if you like, to take him away from the danger area when he's been tied up, if you like. So I think it's a constant debate, if you like. So the obvious change is the two boys closer to the goal, and even playing three up top. The other obvious change is the long puck policy to Michael Kiely as an actual target, which is working really well. You know, probably up to last Sunday has been working well, and might be revisited based on how well Cork did against Limerick with the long puck out strategy. Could be something that'll be revisited on Sunday next. And the other one is probably Tighe's mixing and matching, you know, sitting and maybe marking a bit better, if you like. So it's not an out and out seventh. It's actually probably, there's nearly eight. His conduit with Darragh Lyons is very good, in that out of possession, Darragh Lyons seems to pick the likes of Noel McGrath, the likes of, we'd say, not Darragh Fitzgibbon, I can't remember who was 11 for Cork, Lahan was 11 for Cork. And against Clare, I think early doors, we weren't getting that right. We'd say the middle quarter or the second quarter, whereby Tighe was kind of, you know, say, will I go at Mark Rogers? Mark Rogers might be getting on a bit too much ball, and if I go at him, it's kind of a valley open at the back. So I think that's the obvious kind of change. And I think they're playing with the first game set the seed for everything, in that they played with lots of anger, lots of kind of fueled by the hurt of perception around the team. And I think they've not answered a lot of critics, but I think they've just, you know, they've brought people with them in terms of how they're playing and just giving it everything. And that's very obvious, you know, that they're emptying themselves.
How can Waterford trouble this Limerick team on Sunday, Derek?
Well, I think they need a good start. You know, I think they need a good start, first and foremost. I think that'll be the key to it. You know, I was only just thinking to myself, if we could be, you know, 56, 57 minutes gone, and it's not about staying in the game, you know, it's about 56, 57 minutes gone with this feeling in the Limerick crowd almost that, God, this is supposed to be done. Like, the reality is we could be out of the championship if we lose here. So that, to be able to kind of create that feeling. So I think we need a good start. I think we need to attack the game. I think we need goals similar to Cork, etc. I think, as I said, I mentioned the long puck out could be something that would work well against Limerick, you know, down on Declan Hannan's head with Michael Kiely possibly coming out from behind with runners coming from deep. Jamie Barron's goal is a perfect example of that in the very first game. Now, obviously, Limerick will be aware that that's coming because Cork obviously subjected him to some trouble based on that. So you'd imagine Dermot Burns and Kyle Hayes, who normally stay zonal, might be more inclined to be more man-marking on that long pucket, if you like. So, And look, the other thing, I suppose, you need just to be kind of, you know, play it minute by minute, moment by moment in terms of the game and kind of, you know, attack it, I suppose. You know, and I think that's Waterford are doing that. They're kind of, you know, they're particularly in the Cork game, the first game, and even in the Tip game, they were, you know, getting the goal, being innovative, being different in their approach, and being confident. And as I said, that feeling, we'd say, whether it's true or justified or not, of injustice last week, to kind of almost harness that and channel it in the right direction on Sunday would be, I think that'd be huge in terms of the motivation of the team. You know, it's, you know, the closer it comes to Sunday, you're kind of thinking it's doable, you know. And I think the 4-1 odds are ridiculously kind of insulting to Waterford in terms of just, you know, that gap, that perceived gap. Even if you go back, I think the reference point to last year's game, Tomás, you know, we had plenty of chances coming down the stretch in Thurles last year to beat Limerick. And the other thing is, I won't say it's glaring evidence that Limerick are creaking, but, you know, there's small signs, I suppose, that, you know, the green machine is not, you know, operating in the manner it had been up over the last couple of years. Just small signs.
Yeah. What are those small signs that you've seen over the past couple of weeks, Derek, that Limerick could be creaking a little bit?
I suppose, you know, I was at the Cork game now, and in fairness, you know, the a lot of people would say from the outside, I suppose, looking in over the years, that Limerick's kind of six backs, if you like, in terms of just their pace, their athleticism. You know, obviously Kyle Hayes is a massive athlete now, so I'm going to contradict myself here, and Sean Finn and Dan Morrissey are brilliant athletes. And so, but I think there's, you know, that perceived lack of pace, if you like, around perhaps the, you know, elements within their defence, was, you know, albeit Cork have some rapid athletes, but I think we have some very, very quick players as well. You know, we have some very, very natural athletes. Caelum coming from deep, you know, Jamie Barron running onto breaks. Desi is very quick inside as well, you know. So we have a lot of quickness in our team, and I think, you know, if we were to get at the kind of perceived, as I said, lack of pace within the Limerick defence. Now, albeit generally what Limerick do to guise that pace is they have their half forwards almost back as kind of auxiliary half back, so that it's clogged up, if you like. And so it's just getting ahead of that, getting the balance right. I think, in fairness to Liam Cahill, in the Munster final of the COVID Munster final, I think we played in the winter, and we played Limerick, I think, in the Munster final that year. And coming down the stretch, there was hardly anything in it. I think that day you saw the half forwards kind of double jobbing almost. I think Jack Fagan was 12 that day, and he was kind of double jobbing out of possession on Garrod Hegarty. You know, where you had your 10, 11, and 12 almost double jobbing against their 10, 11, and 12, which allowed both sets of backs to be zonal, if you like, and therefore you're not opened up. And I think the other thing is maybe key personnel back. I'm not sure the fitness issues around Conor Prunty or you know, Patrick Horn or Dara Lyons, you know.
We probably won't know till 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Exactly. I'm not really sure about that. So I think some of those, you know, possible additions would be huge for Waterford in terms of just their record against key opponents. Like, Prunty has a very, I would say, overall has done well on Galan over the years. You know, even though I think 2 years ago he was assigned to Garrod Hegarty down in the Gaelic grounds, and Irla picked up, before he was injured, picked up Aaron Galan. So look, there could be something new coming there as well based on that 25 minutes.
Can I ask you about one of the star men in Ennis, and Brian Flannery gave him the Waterford player of the match? That's Kevin Mahoney, a player you're very familiar with from his days in De La Salle College, Derek. What does he bring to this Waterford attack?
Well, he's very robust anyway, first and foremost. He's a great team player, like all the Mahoneys. They understand the whole ethics of team. There's no individual glory being kind of... Because I would have met, you know, say the general opinion after the Cork and Tipperary games was that maybe, not that Kevin was struggling for form, but I would see that he was contributing away from the scoreboard, contributing kind of key kind of chases, key kind of, you know, turnovers, key just creation of space. Even the little double body check on someone to allow Desi pick the pass for Jack Prendergast in the Tipperary game goes unnoticed by lots of people, if you like, not the Tipperary crowd, but goes unnoticed by lots of people. But he's just a great team player. And I think what you saw on Sunday was, you know, first of all, persistence from the management in terms of sticking with someone that's giving them something that's outside what perhaps people see, if you like, and the perfect kind of blend of what makes a team. And Kevin fits into that category. And even coming out the field the last day, I thought he was very effective when he came out the field. You know, he got a great long distance point in the second half. But, you know, he showed his Ballygunner form, if you like, you know, in at the highest level. So the hope would be that confidence that he would have gained from that is manifest itself again on Sunday, because he's a very dangerous player when he's like that. And as I said, the man is knowing nothing only to kind of give everything they have in their soul for both Ballygunner and Waterford, and that's what Kevin will carry that torch very, very well, you know.
Would you have Desi Hutchinson or Stephen Bennett on the frees this weekend, Derek?
Well, given the consistency, I suppose, associated with what the decision has been this year, I would probably stick with Desi. If you're asking me who's a better free taker, I'm not going to chase a headline that says Stephen Bennett is a better free taker, but in my opinion, he probably is a better free taker. You know, and I think Desi is an excellent free taker. So, the debate heading into a game that Desi should be on the frees or Desi is on the frees. He's missed a couple of vital frees, we'd say, and sometimes they're highlighted to the extent that maybe a free missed by Patrick Horgan or Jason Ford, I think, missed a free, from 30 yards in front of the goal. On last Sunday, and Jason Ford is one of the most ace marksmen in the country over the years. So I think it's a debate that I probably not that I'm not going to get into it. You know, Desi's history of free taking is a lot different than Stephen Bennett's history of free taking. But for me, there's been discussions. I heard Stephen interviewed, or Desi interviewed after the first match, I think, where he spoke about, they talked about ranges, they talked about what angle suits A or B, and look, they've had the discussion. And one thing I will say is it's very ballsy on Davy's behalf and on the player's behalf. And he can never be accused of anything else, only having real, the Billy Nolan decision last year, we'd say, in the Tipperary game. Here's our sub goalie, he's played there with Rome War, putting him out there, to be himself, I suppose, Davy, in terms of just, we'll have a go. And he had Paddy Levy on freeze in some of the matches. And so, look, it's an interesting decision, and I think Desi will hit them well on Sunday.
Another tough question for you, Derek. Will Waterford still be in the Championship come 6 o'clock on Sunday evening?
Look, I'd be hopeful we could get a draw. I wrote the piece in the Examiner last week, and I thought we might get a draw in Ennis. I'd be hopeful we get. There's part of me very divided on it, in that, I was at the Cork Limerick match. I thought it was the level of play was nothing I've seen in a long time. In actual fact, I put it down as probably the best game of hurling I was ever at. I was tired after watching it. I had a great seat right behind John Coyley and Paul Kinnerk, and so I was fascinated to watch everything involved. And the way Limerick came back suggested to me that, they'll be on point, Limerick, So therefore, I think Waterford will have to be very much on point to get the draw that's needed, And I just people are talking about the draw, and they're almost talking kind of in humorous tones around Cork being out of the Championship if we got the draw and if we could arrange a draw. There's no such thing as arranging a draw in hurling. It can't be done. It's as simple as that. So, will we be in the Championship? The answer is I'm out here as a so-called pundit or whatever to say yes or no. And the answer is I don't know, but I'd be hopeful that we could secure. Something out of it that keeps us in the Championship. And I know that sounds like sitting on the fence, but a lot will have to go right for us. Our big players will have to continue to produce. I hope we have Prunty back. If we have a spine of Prunty, Tuig, Jamie, I'd like to see Jamie going back to the middle of the field as well. I know he's played and he's been in the middle of the field, but he's started in the forward line. I'd like to see him going back home just for the. I know he's played well out. He's played wing and centre forward, but it's almost looked like he's been midfield because he goes everywhere. But I'd like to see him going back to the middle of the field, and I'm not sure about the fitness issues around Dara or Patrick Horan, so that might be able to happen, if you like. And I think the one thing I'd like to say, Tomás, I suppose, about the Waterford lads is that the so-called lesser lights, we'd say, the perceived lesser lights, i.e. the Jack Penders, the Dara Lyons, the Neil Montgomerys, the Mark Fitzes, who are having another brilliant Championship, Mark Fitzgerald, the Earl of Dailies, they're having brilliant Championships, They're having brilliant Championships, and they're coming up on the backs then of the Burke and the Bennetts and Earl of Daly, etc. and by Jamie. But I think that's what for me is the real promising thing about Waterford. Even the two boys, they were only on a few minutes last week, the two Fitzgeralds, and they had nipped a few pints within a few minutes. So I wouldn't be as kind of pessimistic about Waterford's hopes even going forward after Sunday as regards young players, etc. I think there's plenty there,
I'm going to ask you for one last prediction, and that's the Leinster Championship. We know Kilkenny are through to to the All-Ireland series already. We've Wexford, Galway and Dublin then battling for the two other spots. We have Kilkenny versus Wexford in Nolan Park, and then we have Galway versus Dublin in Pearse Stadium. How do you see this panning out, Derek?
Yeah, I think Kilkenny will finally reverse the kind of Wexford phobia, if you like, that, you know, people have said 5 or 6 times they've met now and they never fear Kilkenny. I think Kilkenny will reverse that, if you like. I think they got a vital win last Saturday in Dublin, you know, and those games are not easy to win. You know, you'd hear people commenting, oh, geez, Dublin are improving. And but I think those games are 50-50 games in Championship up in Parnell Park. And Kilkenny did very well, albeit a controversial over-carrying decision probably contributed to it. They did very well to win it. So I think Kilkenny will win that. And I think Galway, even though they're not going well, the perception is that Dublin are going very well, and Dublin are going well. I suppose the reality is Dublin are going well, but I think Galway will win that. I think that will leave Galway and Kilkenny in the Leinster final and Wexford qualifying, based on the score difference between the teams in Leinster as opposed to the overall scoring difference in Munster. So for me, it's a top three of Kilkenny and Galway to meet in the Leinster final and Wexford to go through in third place.
And then do you think in Munster, a Clare win and a Limerick Waterford draw to send those three teams through?
That'd be the hope, Tomás. That'd certainly be the hope. I think tomorrow, I think Clare will win. I think Tip will be spirited. I think if there's, you know, I know myself that when you go through a really hurtful week, it can be so hurtful in every way, in a personal level, you know, and on a collective level, it can be hard week's training. You know, we were in a dead rubber in 18, and I think the Waterford win one in 19, and even last year they win one, you know. Dead rubber last game, and it can be so hard in terms of preparation. You need a focus. We had a focus in terms of, it was Brick's last game, I remember, or not Brick's last game, but Brick's record breaking game. So you can put a kind of a focus towards that. So I think Tip's focus will be on, you know, restoring pride, I suppose, you know, and that can be a powerful force. Albeit, I think Clare just have too much to lose by losing that game. So I think Clare will win, yeah.
Well, Derek McGrath, thanks a million for dropping into studio this evening.
Thanks, Tomás. Thank you.